B-Pod Studios.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Here we are, friends. First podcast of 2023. Thank you guys so much for checking it out. Yeah, things are a little bit slow in January sometimes, but they are going to pick up. I have a guitar legend coming up next week. I'm working on this new podcast as well, new podcast slash videocast, which we'll see what happens with that. I do have some guys saying they are confirmed, and then I can't get a hold of them and, you know, different things. But anyways, we did start off the year with a bang with Chris Daughtry and Trip Eisen, who was in Dope and, you know, Static X and just all sorts of bands. So we'll talk with him here coming up in just a bit. But first, it's Chris Daughtry. I don't know. You can say what you want about Chris, but I'm telling you this much. He's super talented, and he's a really nice guy. And he's got this new cover with Lizzie Hale, the Journey song Separate Ways. He talks about doing that, about getting a hold of her. He talks about what he's got going on now as far as, you know, new music is concerned. We talked a little bit about his stepdaughter, his daughter, who passed away from suicide back in November of 2021. So he did touch on that as well and much more. Like I said, both these interviews you can watch at WRIF.com/meltdown. You can watch on the Riff TV section. I'll put the links in the description. But we were off and running talking with Chris Daughtry today. And like I said, just a super nice guy. I hope you guys enjoy this. Chris is up first. My first interview from 2023 is with Chris Daughtry. How you doing, my friend?
I'm great, Meltdown. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Last time I saw you, you were on stage. I didn't get to see you, but I saw the show, the Dearly Beloved show. I want to say that was back in maybe in the spring here in Detroit. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. So we probably had Pat Dahlheimer from Live on bass, huh?
I believe so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, so that was a great show. How'd that tour go for you?
It was great, man. Honestly, we were just happy to be back on stage. And honestly, we were shocked at the turnout. You know, we figured that people were still going to be a little reluctant to come out, but I mean, the response was incredible. So we were very happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, it seems like people were caged up for a little bit and they wanted to get out. But did you notice on this last tour that people were reluctant to buy tickets until closer to the dates or no?
Yes.
Did that happen with you?
There was definitely some dates where we were like, oh, this is going to look rough tonight. And then we'd walk out on stage. We're like, holy shit, it looks great. So, yeah, I think a lot of people were, you know, A, worried that the show was going to get canceled or, you know, if they'd have to show a vax card or if they'd have to, you know, there were so many, you know, variables that people were rightfully concerned about that, you know, probably they were scared to spend the money too soon and then have to go through all the pain in the ass to get refunded and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it worked out great.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, weren't you maybe supposed to go on tour, maybe in the middle of a Seven Dust tour or something, or when the whole thing stopped? Is that true? Or I can't remember where you were in the, were you about to go on one?
We were on tour when everything shut down, but we did go out we started the tour with Seven Dust and Tremonti. And then my daughter passed, and we had to cancel the tour. And so when we geared back up to, you know, make up all the dates, Tremonti was still available to do it, but Seven Dust had already booked their anniversary Animosity tour. So it was a bummer that we only got to do like five shows with them. But love those guys to death, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, you've really cultivated some pretty cool connections in the rock world with some of these bands, haven't you?
Yeah, it's crazy. A lot of these guys, I go way back. You know, when our first record came out, we got to do shows with so many bands that we probably, you know, shouldn't have been on the bill. You know, when we looked at it, we're like, how is this working out? But it was crazy to find out the fan base that we kind of shared through rock and that a lot of the fans crossed over, and I've kept in contact with so many of those guys over the years, and they've become like family to me. So We've been very fortunate to play with some incredible bands that we respect and that have shown us, you know, mutual respect as well. So it's a good feeling, you know, being embraced back in that community after being away for so long.
Now, how long have you been in Nashville?
In July, it'll be 7 years, I think.
Okay, so not that long. And there's a lot of people, obviously, yeah, that have been in Nashville. And that leads me to my next point. You know, you're talking about these connections and stuff. And you and Lindsay Hale did this Separate Ways, the Journey song.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, she's down there and stuff. And you're down there and you kind of know her. And so I heard the story about, you know, you're watching Stranger Things and whatnot. And I was doing the same thing. My first thought is, why didn't you cover a Master of Puppets? But we can talk about that some other time. But
somehow we would have got raked over the coals on that one.
But I have heard some versions of that Kate Bush song, which is funny because I think I'm 10 years older than you. And I don't remember that song when it first came out. And apparently it made this big. I mean, that song was like, you know, just woven throughout the whole series. So you're sitting at home watching this with your wife and you hear Separate Ways and you're just like, I got to cover that song and I know exactly how to do it. Or did it stick in your head for a little while or what happened?
It stuck in my head. That whole scene was so impactful that I think I knew the song, obviously, but it was kind of like a reminder that how great this song is and the way they chopped it up and combined it with the cinematic aspect. I was like, man, this, because me and the guys were in back on the tour. We were talking about we need to do a cool cover. Like, we always do covers live, but we need to record something that would really, you know, hopefully, you know, leave a mark or you know, be unexpected. And we had kind of kicked around. We wanted to do something kind of from the 80s, something that was iconic. And I remember we were in the dressing room one day and Final Countdown came on and we were like, ooh, that'd be kind of a cool thing to tackle. But then the more I thought about it, the more I realized I don't know if we could get past the cheese factor of it, you know, and make it, you know, serious. So we kind of put it on the back burner. And then when I saw that episode of Stranger Things, I was like, that's it. It's got the cool synth thing. It's, you know, the melodies are just infectious and it's already got a heavy vibe to it, even from the original back in the 80s. So I was like, man, if we can do this in a modern way and make it really cool, that'd be awesome. And then one thing led to another and the idea came up of what if we did it as a duet? And I immediately thought of Lizzie and I called her up and I was like, hey, because we had talked about, Lizzie and I had been talking about doing a song, whether it be an original or a cover, for a long time. And when we did that acoustic tour, she came out on one of the dates and we did an acoustic cover of Man in the Box. And I was thinking maybe we should record that. And then when this idea came up, I was like, hey, would you be interested in doing Separate Ways? Mm-hmm. She goes, that's my go-to karaoke song. Absolutely. So it just kind of worked out and it turned out incredible. But Lizzie and I, we met years and years ago when I was working on, I think she was working on her first record with Howard Benson and I was on my second one. Mm-hmm. And I ran into her at the studio and they were this up and coming, you know, band. And I just thought she was so cool. And then we've done shows together ever since, you know, we toured together back in 2013 and we've been talking about doing something forever. And this just happened to be the right time.
Now, have you heard anything from the Journey camp?
Yeah. Neil Schon responded to a tweet or something that was posted saying sounds strong or something like that. But I haven't heard anything from anybody else. So and I don't, I have a feeling that I'm not going to hear anything from Steve Perry.
Why not? I don't know.
I feel like there's probably some political stuff going on in that camp that he probably doesn't get involved in. But
yeah. So you mentioned a Man in the Box. So was it just this last week you jumped up on stage in a Nashville bar with Lizzie and did that with an Alice in Chains cover song? Is that right?
Yeah, it was grunge night and we were both booked to do, we both had agreed to do that, but we didn't know each other were doing it. And when they posted about it, who was all going to be there, I was like, oh my God, you're going to be there too? And she was already going to do an Alice in Chains song. And I was doing an Alice in Chains song and a couple other from the 90s.
So what was your song you were supposed to do?
I did Lakini's Juice from Live.
From Live, yeah.
And I did Creep from Radiohead. And then I did Sunshine, which is one of my favorite Alice in Chains songs. And she did Rain When I Die. I was like, this is just weird. You're doing Rain, I'm doing Sunshine. and then we just kind of were like, are y'all prepared to play Man in the Box? And they were like, dude, we know it backwards and forwards. I was like, what if we ended the show and we jumped up on and did it together? So that was kind of like a surprise thing that was unplanned, unrehearsed, and it was a lot of fun.
And where was that at? Which bar was that in?
The Basement East.
Oh, okay. I haven't been in that place yet. I got to get down there. I've been there a bunch of times.
It's a cool spot.
I've heard about it, yeah.
I don't really get out much in Nashville, so it's one of the few bars that I've visited. And, you know, then it got hit by a tornado a couple years ago, so they just rebuilt it. That was the first time I've been there since they rebuilt it, but it was cool. We had a great time.
Yeah, I remember seeing Alice in Chains for the first time on the Clash of the Titans tour. Did you ever hear that tour?
No, I missed out on that.
Yeah, well, you were young. Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, and a brand new band called Alice in Chains. Can you imagine going up on stage in front of those guys and their fans?
That's how I felt when I had to open for Seven Dust and Hell Yeah. I was like, one of these things is not like the other, guys. Come on.
But you know what? Knowing those guys like I do, and I don't know them very well. I knew Vinny pretty well, and Lejeune I know a little bit, but it's like they probably brought you into open arms, didn't they?
This was what I remember. I remember being on stage, terrified that we were going to get booed. And I look over and I see Vinnie Paul and Morgan Rose and Chad Gray and Lejeune all over there, like, feeling it. And I was like, we're good. We're in good. Even if the crowd thinks we suck, we've got their approval right now, and that's all that matters.
What's some of your favorite memories from VP?
That was my only time meeting him.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And so we spoke briefly, and he was super nice, just the sweetest guy, and had nothing but compliments to give us. And I just remember that being something that was completely unexpected, and it definitely made us feel good and welcome.
Yeah. So Dearly Beloved came out a couple years back. So what's going on in your camp right now?
Well, we're about to get back in the studio and get creative again. I've been, the last couple years, I've been kind of just singing a bunch of gibberish in my phone. I've got a bunch of voice memos that are song starts, and we're ready to get back in and create some new stuff again.
Now, will Separate Ways be on the next record?
It's a big possibility. Yeah. Okay. We felt like with the response, we're like, man, this feels like kind of like the catalyst for our next chapter. So it might have to go on there, you know?
Yeah. What kind of stuff has been influencing? I'm sure they're I guess I'm kind of speaking a little bit out of school, but will something be on the record about your daughter?
Oh, I don't think there's going to be a way that I can avoid that.
Yeah.
You know, I think, at this point, I think I'm on this, you know, being on the other side of it, I'm able to maybe approach it in a way that's probably more hopeful and less depressing, you know. So that is certainly going to be a big inspiration for the lyrics of this record, I think. But as far as bands that I've been listening to, I mean, it's stuff that is nothing like us that I'm just heavily inspired by lately. The new record from Nothing More is, in my opinion, top to bottom, the best rock record of the year.
All right, I'll have to dig into that one. I haven't had a chance to check it out.
I mean, I love every song, and I've listened to it ad nauseum. And Johnny is a good friend of mine, and I have so much respect for that guy as a vocalist. There's few people out there that... I've always been drawn to singers, and there's a few singers out there that make me really jealous of what they're able to do with their voice. Lizzie Hale is one of them, and Johnny Hawkins is another. they've just got so much control of every aspect of their voice, and it's really inspiring. And I love what those guys do. And I got to see them live. We did Blue Ridge Rock Fest.
I was going to say one of those festivals. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to see them live for the first time and I was just blown away.
Yeah. I'm really jealous that Johnny goes up on stage and takes his shirt off. You know, screw that guy. I just hate that.
He's such an animal on stage, man, covered in war paint and barefoot and just killing it.
No, he's a good guy. You know, so with this year coming up, so you haven't even started recording anything. You're just going to go out on tour and then you're going to kind of start try to record in between like stops or, you know.
We're going to start the writing process probably in February.
Okay.
And then we're going to hit the road and we're headed to the UK in March, getting to do Royal Albert Hall for the first time.
Wow, so that's pretty cool.
That's exciting and intimidating at the same time. So we got a few shows in the UK, and then I think we got some Canadian dates lined up because we didn't get a chance to do it last year for whatever reason. It just didn't work out financially for us to get over there. But we're looking forward to doing that because we haven't been in Canada in years. So, and then the primary focus is getting some new stuff out, whether it be a single or a whole record. We're definitely going to have something to release, hopefully within the spring, you know, of this year.
Yeah, and you're doing it wise if you decide to go to Canada during the summertime. I'm not sure why bands tour there in the wintertime, but
I don't know why we tour at all in the winter. Unless it's like Hawaii or somewhere tropical, it just feels like for us singers, it just feels like we're shooting ourselves in the foot every time because it's always like, oh, we're such a, you know, a slave to the elements, you know, and some days are great and some days we're fighting a head cold and it's like, why don't we keep doing this to ourselves?
Yeah. You know, you're talking about singers and having control and stuff. One of the guys I watch and I think he just seems so effortless is Miles. I mean, you've seen him before.
That dude that's an anomaly. I don't even know how he does any of the stuff. I don't even ask. It's like you're obviously an alien.
Yeah, no kidding. It's
and what's funny is Tremont Mark was like, it's crazy. Me and Slash always, I'm speaking for Mark. He's like, me and Slash are always saying Miles is the best guitar player in both of our bands.
That is funny. And you know, speaking of Mark, his Sinatra thing's pretty cool as well. I was kind of shocked by that whole thing.
It's crazy how much he sounds like Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Frank. I don't know. I have an old friend of mine that we used to drink beers and just listen to Frank Sinatra at night. And it's like, you know, it kind of brings back a lot of memories. But he wrote some pretty timeless songs.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Mark sent me Luck Be a Lady before anybody knew about the. He's like, keep this top secret, but I want you to see, you know, hear what I'm working on. And I was like, holy, what the hell is this? Is this you? I was blown away because I was like, this sounds like I'm listening to a modern recording of Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He was like talking about how much he studied every nuance of how he sang things and how he took different, you know, beats and breaths. I mean, he's one of those guys that he's a very studious person.
Yeah. And not only is the record cool, but it's also he did it for his charity.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. So, you know,
he's such a great guy.
Yeah, a really good dude. He's from here, you know.
From
Detroit.
Yeah, I didn't know he was from Detroit. I always thought he was from Florida.
Yeah, right. So Bridge was actually a bridge here in Detroit, which is no longer around.
I had no idea.
See, you learn something new every day.
I mean, seriously, he's been holding back.
So I got a couple listener questions. A girl I went to school with, she's like, he's so hot. I'm like, that's not a question. She's like, okay, well, how does he stay so hot? I'm like,
oh. that is not a question that I can even answer because, you know, one, I would have to think that I'm hot to even answer that, which is a weird thing for anybody to think. I will just say that I try my best to take care of myself and my life decisions. You know, some days are better than others, and I just try to live a pretty decent, healthy lifestyle for the most part.
Yeah, there you go. Like the rest of us. One of my listeners want to know, does he want to get on some rock festival lineups associated with his band more with the genre? You just talked about the Blue Ridge thing. And of course, yeah. These Danny Wimmer festivals are always around. Have you ever been on any of these festivals?
Yeah, we got to do Incarceration for the first time last year as well. So
that's
Danny
a cool
Wimmer
one, yeah.
has embraced us as well. With open arms, and so I would imagine that we're going to end up doing more of those coming up. That is the hopes. I love doing festivals. We did a few in the UK last year for Download and Rock and Marine Park, and that was our first dipping our toes in the rock festival world, and the response was so overwhelmingly positive. We were like, well, this is clearly what we need to be doing more of.
I think the rock fans are really open to, bringing new people and accepting people and like kind of, checking out some different things, especially yeah. at that kind of setting.
Yeah. And I think a lot of those fans were like, I think the unanimous response that we noticed was finally they're doing what we hoped they would do years ago. And so, it feels good to be on the right track.
Well, you always flew the rock flag. I don't really remember your season in American Idol is a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but you always flew the rock flag. So it's not like this is some phony thing that you're just trying to cash in on or do whatever. So that's like, it's really kind of in you.
Yeah. It's always been, it's been my roots ever since I started, getting in front of a microphone or picking up a guitar. So to me, there was a phase of my career when I look back on that didn't feel like me, and that felt, like it was, that felt like trying to do something or trying to reach for something based on, what people were doing on popular radio and stuff like that. And it was, And being on a major label that didn't really know what to do with us.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep us in that hot AC wheelhouse. So once I broke away from that and I was able to really go, what do I want to do? Where is my heart? And what inspired me to even do this in the first place? And that was when the light went off. I'm like, duh. I mean, why am I not doing a record like that? Mm.
Yet, did you grow up basically on a 90s rock, grunge?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, okay, yeah.
I mean, before that was Guns N' Roses and Metallica. That was kind of like my introduction to rock or metal at the tender age of 9 or 10. And I just remember, and Skid Row. I was big into Skid Row, mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I just have always been drawn to melodies that would stick in your head and powerful vocalists. And then when the 90s hit, it was all over. I was all in.
Yeah, everything changed. The new Skid Row record, by the way, is really good with Eric there, Gronwell.
Oh, I got to check it out.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. And it does have a lot of elements from, Nick Raskolnitz did that record.
Oh, okay.
And so he kind of told the guys, put yourself back where you were.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, Slave to the Grind, that's my favorite. But a listener wanted to know, who would be your dream collaboration?
Oh, I have so many. Lizzie was up there and we got to do that. So that's, I got to cross that off my bucket list. Going back to Johnny, I think it would be cool to do something with him. We've kind of toyed around with the idea to figure something out. But who knows? We'll see.
Maybe you can do something with Mark and he can do the Frank part.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, listen, man, I'll cut you loose here. Of course, I was going to say new records coming up, but nothing yet. Just working on some stuff, recording Separate Ways is out. With Lizzie Hale, no Master of Puppets, no Running Up the Hill. hey, by the way, speaking of that kind of stuff, on National Popcorn Day, what's the last movie you saw?
I just went to see The Way of Water, Avatar.
Oh, what'd you think? I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, man. Have you seen the first one?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Avatar guy, but I did see it, yeah.
So I wasn't either. So I went back and rewatched the first one to refresh my memory because it was God, it was so long ago when that first one came out. The sequel is phenomenal. Like I hate seeing movies in 3D, but I went and did it because I was told that like, it's that good. And I was just floored. What James Cameron was able to do in this film, visually is just, I've never seen anything like it. It's incredible.
Well, maybe I'll have to go check it out. I did see Top Gun Maverick in the theater twice because I went with like my kids or something. I think I went with some of my neighbors, but that was something you got to see in the theater, you know?
Yeah, I missed it. I totally missed out on that one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Find one of your rock star buddies down there in Nashville with a big screen, you know, and check it out at their house.
Exactly.
But that was pretty cool. But I saw Skinamarink over the weekend. Oh my God, it's just unbearable. I'm a horror movie guy, and it was supposed to be really scary, and it was just beyond terrible.
I saw you posted something.
Oh, like, yeah, exactly.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It was awful. It was like so bad. I was off on Monday. I had to write a review on it on Monday because it was so bad. I didn't want people like wasting their money on it. It's like, let me stop you right now.
Well, this isn't a horror, but have you seen The Menu?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
The Menu.
Oh, just that's all I'll say. I think it just came out on Apple, but I think it's on HBO Max now. It's got Joseph Fiennes, a few other actors you'd recognize.
I think I've heard of that now that you mentioned it, but I haven't seen it. Obviously,
I've been very like. There's been few movies lately that I've felt like were fresh after seeing it. Like, oh, that was a fresh concept. Mm-hmm. And this one is top of the list.
That's the thing. It's like I'm always looking for something different. And if it's different and weird, you know, it can still be good. This movie I saw the other day was just awful. But I saw, like, you know, Megan last week.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty cool, you know.
I heard it's good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
They just announced a sequel for it, so it had to do something.
Yeah.
But oh, The Menu.
It's, the Menu,
it's,
okay.
It's not horror, but there's a lot of killing. I'll just say that.
I saw Terrifier 2 in the theater. It can't be more than that, I'll tell you that much. Hey, Chris, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate
it. Good to talk to you, man, always.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Up next is Tripp Eisen. This guy has lived quite a life. He's had all sorts of bands, projects. Of course, he was incarcerated, which actually, to be honest with you, I didn't get into it today because he's talked about it ad nauseum in other interviews and such. And we were just talking about so many other things that I didn't have time to bring it up. Now, that being said, you know, he said he's going to come back and we'll talk more when we have more time later on. But I found him to be very candid, super nice. Never had a chance to interact with him before. Of course, he's been in bands like Dope, Static X, Murder Dolls, and more. He talks about the relationship with some of the guys in the bands, why he's not in this new incarnation of Static X, and a ton more. Once again, just like the interview with Chris Daughtry, you can watch this. The description will be in the link below. So check it out for yourself if you want to watch it, or just listen to it here as we talked with Tripp Eisen on Talking Rock. Hey, Tripp, good to see you. I think that here in the radio station, we got one of those Static X gold records hanging up on the wall somewhere. Yeah.
Cool. Right on.
Yeah, it looks familiar.
What city are you at?
We're in Detroit. You've probably played Harpo's how many times?
Oh, yeah. Harpo's, yeah. Harpo's. I'm trying to think. We played, the famous place downtown. We played
like Joe Louis Arena.
No, the place where Kiss played.
Oh, Cobo Hall.
Yeah, Cobo Hall. That was amazing.
yeah. Weren't you guys? I'm just reminiscing now. I can't really recall. Were you guys in an Ozfest tour one year?
That Ozfest happened before I was in the band.
Okay, all right. I thought that there was some sort of Static X Ozfest thing. So,
yeah, they played the final Ozfest too in 2007. So they played. One in 99 and then 07, they played the final one.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, did you play any Ozfest dates? with any bands?
No. Just missed that. We did when we did Cobo Hall. I think it was the Family Values tour.
Oh, with Limp Bizkit,
Linkin Park, Stained, Stone Temple Pilots.
Wow.
Yeah, in 2001.
Yeah, that's going back. Yeah, I remember seeing Ozzy and Rob Zombie that year. I probably saw that tour, as a matter of fact, if I recall. But anyways, so what's going on with you? I mean, you know, you have been in about 18 different bands. Right now you got Face Without Fear. You got a lot of things happening. What's going on in your world?
Yeah, I'm promoting a bunch of things. I'm in three projects right now. So it's it keeps me pretty busy. But each project is its own thing. And the guys, I'm friends with all the guys in the different projects and stuff. And, you know, it's a lot of good vibes. So I've been out there promoting all these different things and trying to juggle, you know, doing some shows. We're actually doing a show tomorrow.
Where's that at?
Face Without Fear in Jackson, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Jackson is where Great Adventure, Six Flags, down that way. But yeah, it's, you know, keeps me busy doing some shows with my old band Rough House, and I got a new project. So yeah, I've been doing little by little, doing some interviews, getting out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting back in the swing. Yeah. So, speaking of live music, I was watching the live stream you guys did a couple years ago, and it just brought back terrible memories when all the guys wearing the masks and everything, and the guys doing the live streams with no crowds and stuff. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's just like, I just can't stand it. You know, it's like watching it now, looking back on it, it just brings terrible memories back, I think. But what was it like doing that live stream with no audience or nothing there?
Well, yeah, it was like shooting a video. But the mask thing is kind of interesting because I remember it was a couple years, like a year or two before COVID hit, right? I went to see Ministry play because Tony Campos was in Ministry.
Yeah.
And we went to see Ministry play, and they all started the show like this. But that was to look like Antifa, right?
Right.
Al was like, oh, Antifa. They have a song about Antifa. So they came out trying to look gangsta and like rebels, and they came out like that, you know, like push forward a year and a half later, they're like, people are all doing that, you're walking into the bank like this, like, hey, pull some money out. Then someone puts glasses on and they're like, hey, going up to the ATM. It says in the ATM, like, no wearing dark sunglasses. You know, they even tell you on the ATM, they're filming you. So they want to see what's up. And now it's like, you can wear a mask everywhere. It's crazy. But this brought back memories of, like, never mind over the face, but just wearing a bandana like this is like the 80s, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I grew up in Western New York. We didn't wear bandanas, I don't think. No, where'd you grow up? Did you grow up on the East Coast?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Eastern Pennsylvania, like right on the border of Jersey. So it's like the Poconos and the Slate Belt and stuff. It's like pretty cool area. Allentown, you know, Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yep, I do. Yeah. Somebody wrote a song about it. I can't remember who that was.
Billy Joel.
I don't know.
So you grew up where?
Western New York, outside of Buffalo.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I would go up to Rochester a lot.
Yeah.
Early 90s, there was a place called the Penny Arcade.
Yes. And have you ever been to the House of Guitars?
No, I haven't. I heard so much about it, like people in different bands. And then Virus, who was in Dope, and I knew him since like 92, 93. And I think he worked there. And like, and I hear so much about it. I just never got there. We were there so many times, and we just didn't get over there. We were just busy. But I heard, is it still there?
I think it's still there. I've never been there before. I followed on social media and stuff for whatever reason, but they've got, they had the, well, of course, you know, not to get too much off on a tangent here about Rochester, but that's where the song Jukebox Hero came from, because Lou Gramm was from Rochester, and he was standing outside the Rochester War Memorial hearing a band play one time, and that's where that whole song came from.
Oh, okay. Jukebox Hero, wow.
Yeah.
And Rochester, like, there's two things about Rochester. Wegmans.
Yeah, that's right. That's a New York thing, yeah.
No, Wegmans is all the way down here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. I mean, Wegmans is huge down here. Yeah. Everybody loves. And then Nick Tahoe's, you know, I guess that's, but that's like the whole area, right? Buffalo Wings, Buffalo, like hot sauce. And Nick Tahoe's was a place to go. But yeah, that was a cool little thing, you know, back in the day. But yeah, getting back to Detroit, it's weird. I had a crazy dream about Detroit the other night. A friend of mine who had passed away, I was dreaming, I was driving through Detroit, and does Detroit have any steep hills?
Not really. It's pretty flat.
Well, I was in this dream. I was in Detroit, and I was going up this steep hill with a car, and the brakes were bad. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to go back. I turned the wheel so it would roll into the curb, and ahead of me was a stadium. Is there any stadium downtown?
There's Ford Field and where the Tigers play and stuff like that, yeah.
Well, I pulled up, and there was this giant stadium. I made a left, ride with my dad, and I saw my friend who passed away walking the streets of Detroit. I'm like, is that him? I thought he was dead, and I pull over quick. I said to my dad, watch the car, because there was no parking. Pulled into a bus stop, and I ran down, and my friend was there. I'm like, what are you doing in Detroit? He's like, I had to start my life over. I'm like, you lied about being dead. It was a crazy dream.
Are you a spiritual guy? Do you think that people that have passed away come back to you in dreams like that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that, but I think it has deep meaning of, you're like unsettled things. I've had many dreams about Wayne, about just there's Wayne and I'm talking to him. He's alive. And I'm like, he didn't know that he died. He's back to life. All these different scenarios. I went back in time. I like so many dreams. I have dreams about Wayne, about my other friend who passed away. Yeah. I have dreams about my grandparents. So yeah, it has deep meaning. I love dreaming about, people that have passed away. Cause then you get to talk to them again. It's just surreal, but I definitely think it has meaning,
Yeah. What was your relationship like with Wayne when he passed away? Were you in touch with him or?
I had making a positive move for sure. I went out to see him play. He had his solo band, which was the Pig Hammer album. And he had played Allentown actually. And I went down to see him play. Didn't tell him I was coming. I didn't make any announcement. I just showed up kind of incognito in disguise, I put my hair up and wearing some glasses just to look like a nerd because I don't want fans to recognize me either.
Yeah. Put your bandana up.
Right. Yeah. But now this was actually, it was Valentine's Day, 2012. Mm. And I went to the show and coincidentally the tour manager at that time was the same Static X tour manager from back in the day. So I didn't want him to recognize me, but I handed him a letter. I wrote Wayne a little note. I put it in an envelope and I planned this out and I handed him this letter. And he's like, all right, kid. Yeah. Give me, he called me like kid. All right, kid. And I said, just give this to Wayne. And
now wait a second. Hold on. Stop. Did he know the tour manager still didn't know who you were? He just thought you were some random fan.
I was, yeah. So in disguise, he didn't recognize me.
So how do you think he was? Do you really think he was going to hand a note to Wayne?
Yeah, I thought he would. Okay. I thought he would. I just, because I know him. He's very on point.
Okay. All right. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, he's very on point. And he said, all right, kid. So then I'm sitting out in my car in the parking lot and I see him running across the parking lot to the tour bus and back. And I see the guitar player who I recognize that I never really met him. And I'm like, I can't do this to Royal. His name was Royal Jensen. I can't do this to Royal. Be here. And then he'll find out, why didn't you tell me you were here? So I go up, I get out of my car, I go up to him, I go, Royal. He goes, hey, I'm busy right now, kid. I go, it's me, dude. He's like, Trip. Oh, and he hugs me. And he was like, whoa, wait, hold on a second. I want you to meet somebody. And he goes and gets Wayne's guitar player, Ashes. And Ashes comes up, oh, dude, oh, I love you. He's a fan too. And he was talking to me about, it's so great. We brought your song, The Only, back into the set because I love that song. It's my favorite Static X song. And he goes, you got to talk to Wayne. And they were like, come on to the bus. And like, yeah, come on the bus. I'm like, you're going to bring me on the bus.
Well, what was your relationship like with him at this point? Were you guys just kind of excommunicated?
Yeah, we were just not in contact. Okay. So like showing up, having his guitar player and the tour manager bring me on the bus unannounced sounds a little inappropriate. Like maybe he's going to be, him and his wife might be a little bit ticked about that.
Okay.
But I'm like, but I was incognito and I'm like, I don't feel it's the right time. I regret it now because I didn't go. I didn't go. I was like, no, it's okay. There'll be another time. So I said, did you give him that note? He goes, so later he gave him the note and the note was very simple. Just like, hey dude, it was great to see you. I'm glad to see you're still doing it. And it was really nice to see you play tonight. I didn't give him my number or anything. I figured it's not the right time and you could contact somebody if you need to. And I know those guys to get a hold of them. So I let it go. but it was a note. And then he said to me later, I talked to Royal after that tour, but I don't know if you, a lot of people paid attention back then. And that was right before a gigantic drama happened where there was drugs found on the bus and they got run down, all these charges in Kentucky, and Wayne had to fly back to face all these charges. And they were having drugs mailed out, and Royal had to quit because he didn't want to get charged with anything. You know? So it's like all this stuff happened at once. But after the tour, I talked to Royal. I said, hey, you know, sorry to hear about all this, but what happened when you gave him the note? And he goes, you know something? I gave him that note. And he goes, this look came across his face like, oh, Trip was here. And he read the note and he was like, oh, Trip was here. And then Tara was like, oh, what is he stalking us? I'm like, no, but I would have liked to meet his wife and you know, just see him. If I was stalking them, maybe I would have went on the bus with him. But that was the last time.
So you never got a chance to talk to him again, huh?
Right. I don't want to let it, you know, eat at me, but I felt like, you know, the fact that he reacted positively to this note that I gave him, and, you know, we have such a history. It's kind of like one of those things like, dude, if we saw each other again, just like I saw AC Slade out at a club, or I saw when I met up with Edsel, when I, you know, like recontacted everybody, and just sometimes it would just happen spontaneously. I'm like, hey, Edsel wants you to come out on the tour, and he wants you to, he'll put you on the list, or, you know, this person. I make contact with people, and, you know, when you see someone's like, dude, how you doing? It's good to see you. And I feel like that could have happened with Wayne, you know, because obviously he looked at the note and he was like, oh, Trip was here. Like, why didn't he come on? Like, almost like he was, you know, why didn't he come on and say hello or something, you know? And I wish I would have, but I was kind of, I was a little bit self-conscious in 2012. So, but then he passed away 2 years later and I got that call. I mean, Tony called me. We were all in contact. You know, I was talking to Tony at the time. I reconciled with Tony in 2013. And then, you know, I had devices to put, I had in my mind, I want to, you know, work with these guys again. You know, I want to work with them. So I reconnected with Tony, and then I reconnected with Ken Jay, and, you know, just started talking to everybody again. But Edsel, AC, a lot of people that I used to play with, you know, there's pretty much, I was starting to be in contact with everybody, you know, little by little. So a lot of good vibes.
Now, this might be a dumb question. I don't even know. You probably answered this before, but how come you're not involved in the current Static X?
Yeah, basically, so you go back to 2014 when Wayne passed away, and, you know, we were all talking on the phone back then because it was a tragedy, and I was already talking to Tony at the time, and then Ken Jay, you know, I start talking to him. I think I was talking to him anyway, too, and it hit him very hard. So right then, before the year was over, 2014, Wayne had passed away in early November, we were already talking about getting back together and doing like a tribute thing for Wayne back then. We were going to do maybe a six city tour and just go and, you know, find somebody to sing the songs and go out and do like a farewell or a tribute to Wayne with the, you know, all the whatever original members there were, me, Tony, and Ken, and maybe Nick Oshiro on drums, like have him switch off on drums and have Koichi and me both play guitar and have somebody come out and sing. So it was going to be like a tribute concert. And then, something happened. We just, you know, we felt like, all right, well, we should be talking to Wayne's widow. And then they had a little bit weird relationship because Tony and Koichi, they had a bad, you know, ending with everything, you know, Static X. So they didn't want to deal with all that. But then she did a concert, like a tribute concert for Wayne in Hollywood. And it was like all these people were out there, but there's no members of Static X invited. But I talked to Ashes, the guitar player. He said, oh, you should have came, Trip. Well, I wasn't invited. And it's like there was not a lot of communication back then, but there was some bad blood between, you know, his widow and the ex members of Static X. So, you know, but, you know, there's always bad, weird things with bands when they break up. I got so many stories like that. how I left Dope, how I left Murder Dolls, and then I reconciled with Joey Jordison later. So, yeah, there's a lot of crazy, interesting stories. But you want there to be good vibes. You want there to be some reconciliation. But back to your question, I was involved with the Static X reunion. So 2016 happens, like 2014, Wayne passes away, 2015. In the beginning of 2016, Tara Ray passes away, Wayne's widow. Right. You know, she died. Mm-hmm. He's no longer with us. So she passes away. Later in the year, I call Tony up and I'm like, dude, like, I love this music. Let's just start working on some things. Would you be into getting the band back together in some form? Let's just start working and see what happens. Let's work on stuff. Let's put the band back together. Obviously want to use Ken Jay and just see what happens with the singer, you know? So I'm the one who made the initial phone call to Tony. I said, let's do this. And looking now, they're back together. So I got the ball rolling. It makes them uncomfortable because we had a falling out because there was some miscommunication, bad communication, some, you know, misunderstandings and stuff. So 2016, me and Tony are working on a bunch of songs. It's feeling great. We get Edsel involved in the production and stuff. Ken Jay's hearing all the music we're working on. 2017, 2018, Wisconsin Death Trip anniversary is coming up. So they're like, well, let's do this anniversary Wisconsin Death Trip with Koichi playing guitar because that's the 20th anniversary and the original members. Mm-hmm. So you can step aside and come back in for the Machine anniversary because that's, you know, that's the album I was on, which is
right.
That this is when I came into the picture. So, but then there's like, then all of a sudden miscommunication happened and they're changing songs that I wrote and they weren't communicating with me. And, it got very upsetting to me because I'm like, what's going on? Why are you changing these songs? And they were getting other people involved, other singers. You're going to have guest singers, maybe Jonathan Davis, Corey Taylor, all these names are floating around. But it never materialized, you know, they all maybe passed on it, you know? So, but I'm like asking questions, why are you changing the songs? And that's where all the bad blood happened. And I had to lawyer up and then, oh, you're lawyering up. And then all of a sudden there's lawyers contacting. It's like, oh my God, it goes from me having the idea to bring them back together to like now lawyers and, you know, everyone's freaking out. And so, yeah, it kind of got heavy, and it's really sad because I reconciled with all these guys and now I'm not even talking to them. So it's kind of, so I'm doing interviews and I'm doing some podcasts, doing some interviews, getting things out there, doing some press releases. And, you know, unfortunately these guys are like, you know, I don't know if you saw any of it, but I did a couple podcasts recently and both podcasts I did ended up being blabbermouth articles.
Yeah.
You know, and getting out there. So it's like, you know, it's like, I just want to get, you know, my version of things out there, which to me, it's the truth. This is what I did. I wrote these songs with these guys. So, but now they're saying this and saying that. It's unfortunate. But you know, I persevere. So I got my own, one of my projects, what I was saying, I got three projects. I got Face Without Fear, my original band. I got Rough House, my old school hair metal band. But I have a third project, which I call Project X.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And that's pretty much me going to release the Static X stuff that we were working on. You know, we were working on this stuff. It morphed into something else that they're doing. And I got my songs I wrote with Tony and Wayne and Ken Jay and Edsel. So I got a bunch of songs that they may never put out, or maybe they will, but they're my songs too. So I'm going to put them out. You know, I got a singer, I got a bass player, I got a drummer, and we're going to do kind of a Static X sounding project because that's what I wanted to do. And they, you know, kind of gave me the two-step here thing. So, you know, you never know.
Now, is that the new stuff that you're working on right now, or are you working on new stuff with Face Without Fear as well?
Yeah, both. I mean, we're in the studio. I'm in the studio with both projects working on stuff. Face Without Fear is nearly complete. We got, you know, 11 originals. We do some cool covers. Mm. But I have in Project X, I got 20, almost 30 songs in session, maybe over 30 that we're working on. Some have vocals, some don't, but I have a singer that has a very Wayne style voice. I got a great drummer, a bass player, and they're all down with this. And it's like, it's exciting. You know, we're going to do these songs kind of in the original vibe of how they were meant to be, how Wayne and I were working on it, or me and Tony were working on some songs. So each song has its individual history. Some of them are from back 20 years ago. Some of these songs are from 20 years old. Some of them are from the recent project that me and Tony did in 2016 when we reunited Static X and we were working on a bunch of great songs. I mean, the vibe was great. Working on it with Tony with some things. So,
and that was like, now you're looking at, you know, 6-7 years ago. So will Wayne and Tony have writing credits on some of these songs?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's their songs. It's my songs. It's like copyrights are shared, you know? So I have, you know, I got these songs that they're not being used. So I'm going to record them. I mean, some of them were recorded already. They're extra songs from Start. I don't know how familiar you are with the Static X catalog, you know, Start a War album.
Mm-hmm.
That's from 2005. That's the album I worked on. And there's a couple extra songs on there that never got released that are finished. They ended up on the new Static X album, but they changed them around a lot, you know, and I feel like I don't like what they did with them. That's part of the dispute I have with these guys. So I'm going to be doing the original versions of these songs. They were copywritten in 05. So they're my songs, they're Wayne's songs. So we're going to do the original versions of those songs, which is going to be cool.
Yeah,
nobody's ever.
Any timeline as to when that'll be coming out?
Not really. We're working on it. I might release a song as early as a month from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them, get them out there, you know, because they're really cool. I want people to hear them, you know. So, but yeah, we might trickle them out like little by little, release a song and do a video for it and kind of get the band. My project out there. We don't have a name for the project. I got a couple ideas. So the name for the band is not decided yet. I just call it Project X right now. So Project X is forming and working on this stuff. So, but I'm pretty sure we'll have a song within a month. You know, it's getting close.
When you look back on your career and you've been in a bunch of projects, you've been doing this for a long time. What was like the peak of your career? Was it the early 2000s?
Yeah. I mean, joining Static X, for Machine, they were on top of the world. They just came off Wisconsin Death Trip, a platinum album. So it was great. We came out, we were on two tour buses. It was like touring the world, touring all over the place. And that was obviously a highlight. It was amazing, you know, going out, playing these songs, they just had two albums. So playing the songs from the first two albums in the set every night was awesome. And then the next album, Shadow Zone, I get to make my writing debut, where I got to write songs. And the first song I wrote with Static X was The Only. That was the first single, and it's one of their biggest songs, you know, it's to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest song on YouTube, so it's like it means something, you know. So there's two big highlights. Joining Static X and touring with them on Machine and doing the Cold video, the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, doing Black and White, all that stuff. I mean, it was so much fun. You know, and then doing Shadow Zone, Nick Oshiro came in on drums. He was a great guy to play with. And then we toured on Shadow Zone and played all over the world with that. That was a highlight, playing my own songs on stage. So it was like, what do I like better? And I'm going to tell you, it's like playing my own songs on stage or playing their songs on stage. It was equally just as good. I mean, it was fun doing both those things. And, you know, so those are two big highlights. But playing with Dope, I mean, when I joined Dope and we went out on tour in 99, the memories there, meeting Static X and touring with Kid Rock and Alice Cooper and all the bands, Slipknot and Cold Chamber and Fear Factory and Seven Dust and Power Man 5000, touring with all those bands was amazing. It's like, that's a highlight. It was tougher touring and it was more of a struggle because we're farther down the bill and the shows are more, it was crazy, but that was a lot of fun, you know? So like, I feel like I was blessed. I mean, I did a lot, I had a lot of cool things. And then the Murder Dolls was great. I never got to tour with the Murder Dolls, but working with Joey Jordison and getting that project going, that was a dream. It's like a lot. I mean, I feel like a lost opportunity because I didn't get to tour with them because Static X was in the studio. I had to quit the band Murder Dolls, I had to quit because Static X's, you know, writing schedule and stuff. So I don't want to miss out. You know, if you had to choose, like, something like as a musician performer, like what's more important, writing songs or performing? I mean, everyone likes to be on stage, but writing songs, you know, is the bread and butter. It's also like the heart and soul of everything. You know, you want to write music, you know, you want to get your music out there. So,
what's going on with Wednesday 13? Cause I hear all this stuff. Are you in contact with him or no?
Yeah. I've talked to him a little bit recently. Yeah. He did put out a new album, did a tour, you know?
Yeah.
He's the struggle between him and AC and the trademark of Murder Dolls, you know about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I talked to AC about that last year, yeah. And he was kind of doing the same thing, talking to guys like me to get it out there and put his side of the story out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a dispute that's not going away, but it's like, you know, it's unfortunate because AC Slade is, I got a complete history with him, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I go back to 1991. He tried out for a band I had in New York City. And we lived going through the 90s. He played a bunch of bands. We did shows together. And, you know, I pretty much got him into the band Dope. So it's like, you know, he and I like have a lot of memories and stuff. But the current thing with Murder Dolls, it's a tough thing because, like, you know, I would love to talk to AC, but he's made himself like kind of like in a situation where he's got an agenda with Murder Dolls, and he's putting this out. And I guess he's banking on, you know, there's enough people that just love everybody and don't want to dispute. Here's Murder Dolls, check it out. But there's a weird thing, you know, Joey Jordison not being around. You know, it's a tough thing. What would Joey think about this? You know, and yeah. I kind of.
It's the same thing like the Pantera guys. I don't know. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole. But wrapping things up here because I'm running out of time with my Zoom. But what can you tell the fans about what you got coming up this year, and what do you want to leave the fans with as far as from your side of the story, from anything that you want to get out there?
Yeah, basically, I got a website called tripeisen.com. TRIPPEISEN.com. My name tripeisen.com.
Yeah, and you just got that up, right?
Just a few weeks ago, yeah. That's going to be a hub for everything. It'll have a lot of content, and it's going to build. But I'm doing a podcast. So with all this controversy going on, Dope, Murder Dolls, Static X, and all this stuff. So I'm going to have an outlet to talk about it. It's fun doing interviews and talking about it and taking questions about it. But I'm going to put myself in a forum where I'm going to have people that were in the trenches or there, mm-hmm. friends of people that knew Wayne and Tara, people that were there with Dope, and people were there with the Murder Dolls, and people that know intimately what was going on 20 years ago with a lot of this stuff. So it's not just Tripp's version. Oh, this is just Tripp's opinion. I'm going to have people on the show talking. I'm never going to talk by myself. I'm going to have somebody on. It's going to be a conversation going on, and keep it short form and talk about things. I'm going to have guitar techs and personal assistants and people that knew Wayne and Tara, people that were there from the 90s all the way to the very end. So it's not going to be like, oh, it's not legitimate. That doesn't have street cred. What's Tripp talking about? I'm going to have stuff that's credible. Mm. So they're not going to be able to say like, oh, what is that? No, these are people that are legit, and it's going to be interesting conversations and stories, the interesting stories that need to be told about Dope, about Murder Dolls. That's cool. But Static X is obviously my favorite thing I've ever done. So it's called the Dope on Static X podcast, play on words.
There you go.
The Dope on Static X podcast. So I'm going to do maybe a limited episodic thing, maybe 10 or 12 episodes only. See how it goes and make it, it's a limited run. I'm not going to be going on and on. So get the story out there and make it interesting. And so tripeisen.com will be a hub for that. I'll probably be on a lot of platforms, like your podcast. You got to get it out there. You got to, you know, push it as much as you can. FaceWithoutFear.com. Face Without Fear is all over social media. I love it. The guys are great, and we're putting out great music. And then Project X will be coming up. There'll be some cool music, and that'll be a whole, who knows where that's going to go. It's exciting. We don't know. Are we going to play live? We're just going to do videos. The guys are like flexible. We don't know where that's going to go. You know, I don't know if it's going to, you know, it's not going to interfere with Face Without Fear. It's going to be two separate entities, but either way, it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I got to be playing music, you know, just to turn it in like, oh, nope, I got to keep playing music. I don't want to play covers. You know?
I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what, when you get all this stuff up and running, like maybe in the fall or something, come back and revisit, and we'll talk about everything you got going on.
Definitely, man. I appreciate it so much, man. It's like great talking to you.
Yeah, great to make your acquaintance after all these years. I've been in this business a billion years like you have, and I've never had a chance to run across you. So, Tripp, good luck to everything. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's a pretty good way to start out the year here with Tripp and Chris. Thank you guys for watching and listening. I do appreciate that. Like I said in the intro, I do have an interview coming up with a guitar legend coming up next week, okay? Plus, like I said, I'm trying to slowly work on this other podcast, videocast idea that I've got, which is not going to be as reoccurring as Talking Rock, but we're going to, you know, here and there. That's all I'm going to say. But thank you guys so much for checking out Talking Rock. First episode of 2023. We'll do it again real soon.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.